impeachment without a trial.
Right?
Actually, that's how impeachment works.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're whipping our dicks out to talk about Louis C.K., his latest fuck-up, and whether or not comedy should have limits.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Fucking fuck, fuckity fuck.
And Nick Glover.
Other swears.
And we are going to get our dicks out in front of you and talk about Louis C.K.
Check out my dick.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, you got to look at it. I don't even care. That's what I like.
Oof. Yeah.
Ah, this is a comedy podcast. And as such, I think it's important that we talk about this because it's a hot topic right now in the comedy world.
Comedy topic.
But particularly because...
It's mad at its parents and it dyed its hair.
Yes, yes, exactly. But because we are insult comedians specifically, I think that it's important to talk about this because there's been a lot of conversations about are there things that are off the table that should never be joked about? And
right.
that's been a resurged conversation lately in the news. I should point out we are recording at Deepwood Mott, which means that Peaches, the wonder pup, could make noise. You might hear her barking. She's currently happily chewing next to Tim, so...
So far,
maybe she'll be fine.
She'll be fine.
Just FYI, yeah. If you hear us start screaming at something, it's a dog.
not Louis C.K.
Not Louis C.K.
He's not in the room.
You know, all right. So to recap what happened, if you don't know.
How far back are we going?
I'll go back to like the beginning. It's a little more than a year. So
okay.
Louis C.K., when the Me Too movement started kind of ramping up a little bit, and before that, there had been stories.
Yeah.
But it all really came to a crashing crescendo about a year ago, but Louis C.K. was accused of, and has admitted to, taking his dick out in front of female comedians and masturbating in front of them against their will.
Yeah.
In fact, with them saying, no, thank you, stop, get out of here, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, what
and
are you doing?
He claimed in his apology that he asked permission.
And that they said it was fine, Who would ever say that?
And that's not what they say happened.
Who is
right.
ever like, you know what? That sounds really great to me. I would like to watch you masturbate and then do nothing else with you sexually.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if it had gone on to sex then.
Right.
Or something. Sure, that could be some fun foreplay.
Sure,
but like,
they were masturbating too.
Sure, yeah, that's some fun things. But like, who's ever just like, you know what I want to do? Watch this guy I don't know super well masturbate. You know? Like,
this guy I'm not into.
This guy I'm not into. It's just not, it's... And his
apology
was...
Yeah, so he was like, oh, you know, I misread the power dynamic. It's like, dude...
Yeah, and his apology was all about, I misread the power dynamic. He didn't really apologize in a way that satisfied a lot of people.
But,
like,
but technically he apologized.
He did technically apologize.
And,
it wasn't... Yeah.
And it looked like he was making efforts.
Yes, if I remember correctly, like he was trying to help the careers of some of the people there was some apologies and some, it looked like he had a path forward and he was going to actually try.
He was trying to make things right. Maybe,
yep.
Maybe.
And then he, a while later, maybe like 4 or 5 months ago at this point, he, just showed up at a comedy club and just like did a set.
Open mic
and just kind of did a set. I don't know if it was an open mic, but he's Louis C.K., so he can show up to a comedy club and
sure.
be like, I want some time, and they'll just give him time.
Yeah,
that's
they're
how
not
going to
say no.
Yeah,
right.
That's how it works. So, and he just, and people talked about it and were like, boy, it's kind of ironic that I didn't really want to see Louis C.K., and yet I had to anyway, you know, because he just showed up and like made me watch his comedy.
He got heckled, right?
And he got heckled a little bit, yeah. And so that was, and then it was like, okay, and there was kind of nothing about him
right.
until recently when he went and did a 50-minute set and someone leaked footage of it. Someone recorded the whole thing, audio, which you're not supposed to do.
Right.
It's important. I think as comedians, it is important to note that this dude who leaked this video or this audio broke the rules. The pact is that this is a safe place to try out new bits.
Yeah.
and to workshop material and to see how it goes.
People probably don't know that about open mics. Open comedy, mics are...
Yeah, it's not an open mic.
Right.
Comedy clubs. Not an
comedy
open mic.
Clubs in general.
Yeah.
Okay.
Open mic is anyone can put their name in.
Right, I understand.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. But you're right. That's something people usually don't know. So this guy did kind of break a pact in that way, but I don't know. Do we think that it's worth... Is that okay to do?
It's circumstantial.
What? We don't even know what that... This guy's... Was he trying to show how, quote, awful Louis C.K. was? Or was he like, guys, check it out.
No,
Louis
it was...
Louis C.K. doing comedy again. Rock on!
No, it was definitely like a... Like, can you fucking believe what he's at?
Yeah, can you believe he's like, making these jokes?
Like, he guy posted it on YouTube and then tweeted it, and YouTube took it down.
Yeah, because it's...
Okay.
But the quotes he chose to use to share it were the two main things that people are talking about.
The more inflammatory jokes.
we'll get to that.
Yeah. we just watched some of it.
Yeah, so this is somebody who went to the show and was like, I can't fucking believe that Louis C.K. is making these kind of shitty jokes.
He started recording it from the start.
Right.
Yeah.
Probably guessing that something was going to go down, or that he was going to talk about what happened. And he kind of did about what happened. He starts off the set by saying, how was your year? You know, and everyone laughs because everyone knows he's had a terrible year. And,
I mean, he kind of, earned it.
Oh, yeah. No one's saying he didn't earn it. Yeah. No one's saying he didn't earn the year. But, still, it wasn't a terrible way to start a set. I think, too, that, so obviously this guy started recording it thinking he was going to get something.
Yeah,
and
right.
And he did. Louis C.K. made, it's a 50-minute set. So I feel like it's important to note that there's a lot of stuff that isn't terrible.
Yeah.
Or whatever. It's just 50 minutes of comedy, but there is a good bunch of shit that's like, he makes fun of the Parkland shooting survivors going to Congress and testifying and says, like, they're young and they should be fucking each other and doing jello shots and not, like, trying to change the world. And who gives a fuck what they have to say?
Well, and that they're just kind of meh.
They're
like,
They didn't even get shot.
Yeah, they just got. Why should we listen to them? Because they went to a school where kids got shot, and then he makes some stupid lazy joke about all you did was push a fat kid out into your way, you know,
I know.
into the way, and it's like it didn't even happen. Like it's so lazy. Like it's so lazy to make fun of it. Like at first, when I read the line, like, why should we listen to you? All you did was not get shot. I was like, all right, that's kind of a funny joke. Like, that, there's something that could be funny there. But instead, it's like the rest of it is just super lazy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you should be fucking instead of talking to Congress. Like, well, that's a weird thing to say about people who are trying to change, like...
About kids, even?
About kids who are trying to change laws that got their friends killed.
Yeah.
And so I guess, like, there he makes some gender-neutral jokes, like, about people who identify as gender-neutral and, like, does the tired old, well, I identify as a location, so you have to call me there.
But that location is your mother's cunt.
Yeah, that location is your mother's cunt, which is, like, so you identify as my mother's cunt? That's
just
weird.
Well, anyway.
Weird. Like, it doesn't even... Like, a lot of this doesn't even make sense. Like, he's just swearing to, like, get people to be like, oh, cut.
Well, and like, I'm not defending the guy, but what he was doing was trying out material, throwing a bunch of shit out to see what sticks. He should know better.
Oh, yeah. He's infamous now.
But at the same time, like, I don't know. Is there ever an appropriate time to try out shit to find out it's inappropriate?
I think...
Is that place public or just strictly private?
I think that there's two things happening here. I think that there's this argument about what can a comedian do? And where can a comedian try out potentially offensive and unfunny material?
Sure.
Versus, what can Louis C.K. do?
That's fair.
Louis C.K., who has not done anything to make amends.
That's
who has not done fucking anything to try to like earn people's trust and respect back. And instead has gone from radio silence to here's a bunch of shitty offensive material. Fuck you guys. I'll say what I want. Like,
right.
And to me, I think that's the difference.
Do you think so? All right. Historically, like if you look, if you watch his show, Louis,
yep.
if you look at some of his other stand-up stuff.
Especially his earlier stuff from like 10 years ago.
He's definitely always been dirty and of, you know, like vulgar or irreverent.
He's used slurs.
He has.
F slur, R slur.
The context in which he's used slurs is often talking about the slurs themselves.
Yeah.
Not usually directed at people, although he has definitely...
For gay people, he absolutely has used the slur about a person.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is he hopeless?
I think so. Now, maybe. Before this leaked, before he decided to try this set, I didn't think so. I really thought that if he had just, like... I don't know, man. Like, tried to write some shit about, like, some self-deprecating shit. Like, made jokes about it in a way where he was the butt of the joke.
And, I mean, I'll grant we didn't listen to the entire set, but at the beginning, it didn't sound like he was making really self-depreciating jokes. It sounded like he was just saying, boy, I had a shitty year.
Yeah.
Not, like, and it was my fault.
Right, right.
Not finding ways to make jokes about how he fucked up.
Right.
But just say, oh, God, it's been a horrible year.
Yeah.
You guys, don't you feel bad for me how horrible this year was? And I'm going to describe some of the ways in which it was horrible and make some shitty analogies that are comedy analogies, whatever.
Yeah.
So if he had been... So on the one hand, you're like, he opens with acknowledging the scandal.
Right.
But then he doesn't really go anywhere with it.
He doesn't
go anywhere useful.
He doesn't say like, yeah, I fucked up, how about that? Like,
or like, you know, hey, so let me tell you know what not to do?
Right.
Like,
yeah,
there could have been a lot of really funny things, like, you know, it's Andy Richter had a really good thread on Twitter that was like, here's why I have a problem with it. It's not because, oh, he was offensive, and it's not because, oh, some things can't be joked about. It's because the jokes were so lazy. And he's like, and we've seen this so many times. Disgraced comedian becomes truth teller who's gonna say like it is.
Dennis Miller.
Yeah, Dennis Miller. Norm Macdonald.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna be the one that's not afraid to say the gay people are getting too many rights. Am I right? Like... Or, like, I'm going to be the one who's not afraid to say, like, these kids today are dyeing their hair dumb colors.
And they'll say something like, well, you know, hey, I don't care what you do in the privacy of your bedroom, but...
Yeah.
You know, I don't care who you fuck, but...
You get the what is it, Chris Tucker stuff that's like, you're going to... Kevin Hart. The Kevin Hart stuff that's like... Well, I'm fine with gay people, but if I just ever see my kid playing with dolls, I'm going to beat the fuck out of him. Shit like that, where you're like, oh, that's funny, because I also kind of hate gays.
Yeah, the other thing that Andy Richter said, which I thought was really important, and as comedians, you know, you got to think about it. Comedy evolves. Comedy changes.
Yes.
It's like, what jokes that were funny 50 years ago aren't funny now. Jokes that were shocking 50 years ago aren't shocking now. And as comedians, we have to be aware of that. And we have to be aware that if you sit there and you make a bunch of fucking jokes about the Me Too movement and make fun of women stepping forward and saying, I was abused. I was in a room with Louis C.K. and he whipped out his dick and made me watch him masturbate.
Yeah.
Even though I said I didn't want to. Ha ha, isn't that funny?
Yeah. But
it's probably not going to work. And you, as a comedian... have to evolve with comedy.
It's not brave.
No, exactly.
It's not, there's nothing like, oh, like Molly said, truth teller. You're not like the brave guy who's daring to tell the truth.
Yeah.
That's not brave. That's picking on someone who is less in power than you and less enfranchised.
And
with the Kevin Hart thing, so I'm So those of you that don't know, Kevin Hart, like Molly gave an example, mm-hmm. has historically said a bunch of really homophobic shit in his comedy. And it kind of came up when he was going to host the Oscars, and they took that away from him. And
you know, I got to, can I clarify what happened with that? Just, yeah. So, because understand, Kevin Hart said all this stuff. Okay. It came out after it was announced he was going to host the Oscars.
People went and looked and were like, hey, what the fuck?
The people who were in charge of the Academy Awards went to Kevin Hart and said, look.
Yeah.
There's a ton of people who watch our show who are gay.
Who are upset by this.
And who are upset. But I mean, specifically, yeah. they're like, there is a community that really enjoys the Academy Awards that's really upset. Can you please just apologize for it?
For the things you said in the past.
Yeah. And that's all we're asking you to do. We're not asking you to not do the show. We're just saying, can you just apologize for it? And Kevin Hart was like, no, fuck you, I quit.
I'll just not do it then.
Right, that's, yeah.
Yeah, yep.
So, how different is it that Kevin Hart, in his past profession, in his past creative works, said a bunch of inappropriate shit that we can all acknowledge is inappropriate, ignoring the fact that he didn't apologize and he kind of doubled down on it recently.
Right.
How different is him losing a job opportunity because of that from James Gunn being fired from Disney because of a bunch of inappropriate jokes he made on Twitter years ago that contextually within, you know, Twitter may have been, like, less bad, but he joked about, like, fucking kids and stuff. Clearly it was a joke, and he wasn't endorsing pedophilia, but you could say it was inappropriate humor.
I will say, so the difference to me, and I think we can't really set aside the lack of apology, because to me that is the difference, is Disney fired James Gunn.
Right.
James Gunn immediately was like, that was a long time ago, I am embarrassed by those jokes, I'm sorry, like, it's not funny. Like, I know that. Like, I was just making jokes, but I, you know, apologize. And
Disney was aware of those jokes when they hired him.
Of course, because they'd been there.
Right. Well, he even apparently had talked to them about it. You know, I mean.
Well, you don't think that, like, people watched Kevin Hart's stand-up before hiring him for the job?
Right. So what I'm going to finish saying is, if the Academy had fired him for those tweets, I would be like, that's fucking stupid. That's stupid if they just fired him for it. But they didn't. They said, hey, man, please apologize for this. And he said no. And that's what's ridiculous. Just say, hey, you could even do the fake apology. I'm sorry if anything I said offended people.
He didn't even do
the fake apology.
I'd rather have someone not apologize than fake apologize.
Would you?
Because if they fake apologize, that's going to be good enough for some people,
that's
and
fair.
They can say he apologized.
That's
if
true.
He outright says, nah, fuck you, I'm not apologizing, then at least we can all agree that he didn't apologize and no one will accept like a half apology.
I don't think Kevin Hart should have stepped down. I don't have a problem with him. I don't have a problem with him saying... I mean, I have a problem with him making those tweets because they're terrible, but I don't have a problem with him hosting the Academy Awards because, I mean, spoiler alert, whole lot of homophobes have probably hosted the Academy Awards over the year.
Yeah.
Just because we happen to know this one made some jokes. Like, I just...
Bob Hope's hosted the Academy Awards for years.
Yeah.
And I bet you he was one fucking hell of a homophobe.
So it's like, to me, it's just kind of like it... You know, I mean, they can, private company, they can make their own call, but they didn't, I think that firing James Gunn for that, and I also think the timbre of the jokes was different. Kevin Hart saying, if I ever see my kid playing with dolls, I'm gonna fucking beat his ass, that doesn't feel very funny.
And I believe that particular quote was in the context of a not apology that he made, I think it was on the Ellen DeGeneres show, and they were like, he was like, yeah, I wouldn't make those jokes now, but if I caught my kid, you know, playing the dolls, I'd beat him. You know, so he doubled down on those jokes.
To some degree, the point
that it's like, I kind of believe that he really thinks that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
And so to me, it's like, at the time, you know, James Gunn doesn't have any kids that are like, oh man, is my dad gonna fuck me? Like,
right.
When he made those tweets, but Kevin Hart's got a kid who's probably like, oh, I guess I can't be gay.
Right.
You know, I don't know. It seems, I think it's a mild difference, but you're right. It's a good point.
So I mean, I think Louis's show is done now. I don't think that's coming back on FX or HBO or whatever. I don't know if it was done before all this shit or after all this shit. But, I mean, like, clearly the only opportunities it seems like he has right now are to see who will support him in the stand-up community, which clubs will let him ply his trade and do stand-up. I don't know that we can expect to see him doing, like, a tour anytime soon or anything like that.
Well, like, Dennis Miller is super popular with conservatives because he just changed his comedy style to appeal to conservatives. And since most comedians tend to skew liberal, there's if Louis C.K. wants to go that way, there's a career.
He has an audience. He has waiting for him.
What I wish would happen instead is that maybe he would donate some money to a few causes and, like, you know, and donate some, like, maybe, like, do, like, produce an event that's, like, a benefit or something for, you know, like, a comedy thing or just, I don't know. There's things he could still do and come back to the, let's just call it the regular comedy world as opposed to the conservative comedy world. But
Do you think he could come back? You think he could?
I think he could, but I don't think
if he made honest efforts
and if he went back to actually crafting jokes instead of just making no, like, it's the same with that Amy Schumer special. It reminded me a lot of that. It wasn't that what she was saying was so offensive or so terrible or anything like that, but it was just so fucking boring and lazy.
Well, but okay, so hang on. If he went back to crafting his jokes.
Yeah.
So a part of crafting jokes in stand up is testing material in front of an audience to see what sticks. A part of crafting jokes is judging an audience response as you test things to build a set.
Yep.
And which is kind of what he was doing. I'm not defending it.
I know.
I'm just saying, like him getting feedback for those jokes, like he has since it went up on Twitter, is potentially a part of the process for him writing jokes and writing material.
Yeah, so if what he learns from this is those jokes weren't funny, they were lazy, here's a bunch of comedians telling you how lazy it was and how disappointed they are because you used to be so sharp and so funny and now instead you're just going, these kids are just bleh. Like, that's not a joke, man. That's just a noise. It's the same as Amy Schumer being like, I get up and I'm all like, eh. You know, it's just she did this a real similar thing. Like
Louis's done the same thing with talking about turning 40, or I think it was, where he's like, if you look at, I'm not 50. I'm not in my 30s. I'm just bleh.
Sure.
I'm 40 bleh.
Yeah, and it was funny.
And it was funny and it was good. I mean, I don't disagree that the jokes were lazy.
Yeah.
I don't disagree that they were offensive in a way that I don't enjoy and were punching down. But I wouldn't say they were atypical for his style of delivery and comedic flavor.
I agree.
I think it fits within his style and what he does. And I think that not all his jokes in his sets are all knockouts. He has little, barely funny shit in between stuff all the time to, like, do pacing and momentum and all that. I don't want to sound like I'm defending him.
But I still remember when we went and saw him at Acme.
Yeah.
We went and saw him, and he said, Minneapolis. What do you call people from Minneapolis? And there was a pause, and I yelled out. I was like, it's Minneapolitans. And he was like, Minneapolitans. Oh, so, but you're a cute girl. You can get away with saying that. I say it, and I sound like it. And then he used a gay slur.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I remember.
I think he said, and people call me,
and he used a gay slur. And I remember sitting there and being like, oh, wow, attention. And then being like, ugh. Like, even in the moment. And and so, like, it's not that he's never had misfires where you're like, oh, buddy, like, no.
Right.
But it feels like this set were misfires that he thought were. We get people like this in vilification tennis all the time who come up and they're going to say the thing that they think is so funny and all it is just a veiled racist joke.
Right.
And that's
how they think it's
felt.
Edgy, but it's really just shitty.
It didn't feel... he was trying to be edgy and it just came off as lazy.
Right.
I mean, I think when we talk about the evolution of comedy, part of it is, and this is a problem that I think any comedian has, they have a style, right? And sometimes their style works with the time that they rise up and become popular. But then sometimes comedy moves on and they don't.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like that might be part of the problem with Louis C.K. Yeah. Is that what he did 15, 20 years ago or 10 years ago that was hilarious is really tone deaf now.
Yeah, well, there's movies that from 15, 20 years ago that I thought were hilarious that I've watched again and been like, oh shit. Wow, there's a lot of transphobia in this movie that I didn't notice before.
Like Eddie Murphy's material from the 80s?
Yep.
I mean, I remember laughing my ass off at it, and then I listened to it again, and I'm like, oh shit.
Well, and that's something, like you mentioned in Richter's thread, he did say that. He was like, people are always saying, you know, so-and-so comedian from the past would never make it today. And he's like, no shit, comedy evolves. And if it didn't, it wouldn't be fun.
It's got the shortest shelf life of any kind of entertainment, is what he says.
Yeah, as we said, yep.
Using Vilification Tennis as an example, I mean, we've been doing the same show for years, but seriously, if you go back 30 years, or 25 or 10, and look at the kind of jokes that what we do constantly evolves.
Yes.
And we talk about it after the show, and we're like, don't do this joke. It just doesn't work.
There's people where we've been like, hey, man, can you stop doing that joke? Because, like, calling someone, like, making fun of someone for being gay isn't really what we do anymore.
Right.
And it's like, absolutely. We don't do that shit anymore.
I think, like, 8 years ago when I joined, like, 3 or 4 people had maybe one or two jokes each where the punchline was essentially, someone's gay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now I don't think anyone has anything. I think someone has one that's, he has in common with PBR. He also comes in tall boys.
That's pedophilia, not necessarily.
One joke that still gets used is you're so deep in the closet you can see Narnia. But that's a joke about being in the closet.
Yep.
Not about being gay.
And to argue against that insult, some people are in an unsafe place or are not in any condition where they can come out. And so making fun of people for being in the closet is still kind of homophobic.
It's
not my joke. It's not my material. I don't choose to say it or not say it. But like,
I don't think she uses it that much anymore. I can't remember the last time she used it. But
I can see how people can make the point where that joke is a little homophobic, or at least at its core is kind of rooted in like a homophobic thought. It's not maybe actively homophobic, but passively contributing to a culture of homophobia. Well, and I don't know that I would disagree with someone who made that argument. I'm not making it myself.
Honestly, like, it's, and people, you know, will say like, oh, well, you can't make anything funny about this. You can't make anything funny about that. Just out of what we're talking about, I've got 2 insults. One of them is, your mom's so fat, she told a #Me3 story. Which is a Me Too joke that isn't making fun of survivors, right?
I don't remember you telling that
joke. Oh, yeah. And then the other one is, you know, Eric wants to be a famous comedian, so he's been masturbating in front of unwilling women. Like, again, making fun of Louis C.K., not making fun of the fact that those women got assaulted.
Right.
But, like, there's ways that you can write these jokes. Like, I feel like I want to take all these jokes he said about this stuff and, like, rewrite them and just be like, look how you could have made these funny.
Yeah.
Like, look how this could have been.
The thing is, saying,
oh, they say you address me as they, them, like they're royalty. That's not unfunny if you went further with it and stressed the royalty angle instead of the fuck you, gender neutral isn't a thing angle.
Right.
Like, that's the, he just, it's like every time he went with the lazy common denominator.
Even the Parkland Survivors thing, it's like, I can't believe these kids are going in front of Congress instead of fucking. I mean, that's what I did at that age. It's like,
that is also kind of funny.
Yeah,
like,
it's the point at which you're like going into discounting their experience and saying, well, they don't have a right to stand up in front of Congress. They didn't even get shot.
What if he'd said, how fucked is our country? These kids are testifying in front of Congress instead of fucking and doing jello shots.
They should be going to concerts and
be doing this. America sucks. Like, or we're even fucking up. Like, that could have been great.
Or even, look what these kids are doing. They're going to Congress. All I did when I was their age was sit at home and masturbate. Like,
if I testified in front of Congress, it would only have been about my dick.
Right.
You know, like, there could have been so many funny jokes about it. But instead, he mocks the people who have there's nothing funny there.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so frustrating.
And that's the thing about comedy. There's a way to write a joke. Yeah, I mean, as I've always said with our show, it's like, I'm not going to tell you can't write a 9/11 joke. I'm going to tell you better be a really good fucking joke.
Yep.
Because otherwise, it's just going to backfire.
High risk, high reward means high risk, high loss. Like, and the thing that I think, it's a very easy and I think trite thing to say. Comedy should always punch up. Comedy should never punch down. Except that some topics are down. And some people think that that a topic is punching down.
Oh, sure.
And so some people use it wrong. And I think...
You can't make a joke about rape because a joke about rape is punching down.
Right. You can't make a joke about, you know, the Holocaust because it's punching down. Like, there are ways to make jokes about those topics without making jokes about what happened, if that makes sense.
Sure. And like, so again, like, just to use my devil's advocate powers for the forces of good,
please
I hope. So one could argue that if you're making jokes about rape, even if it's not at a victim's expense, you are trivializing or making light of rape, which can make people take accusations less seriously, which can contribute to rape culture, the real thing.
Yeah.
Like, you could say that jokes about Me Too are
sure.
So I understand the argument.
Yes.
That even making a joke about the topic, when it's not at someone's expense, can be a problem or unhelpful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily agree with that, but I think it's an incredibly valid point.
I think
those people don't have to go listen to those jokes.
Exactly.
As well.
That's the thing. Is like, there are people who think our show shouldn't exist. And that's where I'm going to take umbrage, because you don't have to watch it. You don't have to be there. Everyone at the show understands that we are taking on the characters of terrible fucking people who are making terrible offensive jokes that are not to be, like, it's a stage full of Cartmans. Right, it's a stage full of Frank from It's Always Sunny. We are
none of us are even pretending to be racist or sexist.
Right,
or
exactly.
Yeah.
But so even though we are saying don't emulate us, don't emulate these jokes, we're all bad people, we're terrible, we're still even not making jokes that victimize people.
We're assholes, not monsters.
Exactly. And so at best you could say we're perpetrating the trivialization of those topics, but you cannot say that we are mocking victims or punching down or hurting people.
Right.
Other than people who get offended by things we say, which is the whole fucking point of the show.
Except for people that have cancer.
Well, you know, why did they get cancer?
It's their own fault.
Yeah, don't get cancer. All right. Anyway, comedy theory, man. I feel like you get two comedians in a room and you can talk comedy theory until the cows come home.
Tim's here, too.
Yeah, But, like, by all means, let us know if you have anything to say about this. What did you think? Did you hear the Louis C.K. stuff?
Yeah.
We'd love to know what you think. A lot of you, we know, are fans of our show, or at least fans of offensive comedy, because you like this podcast, and that's kind of what we do here a little bit. So please let us
make dick jokes like every episode.
I know.
Yeah.
We literally have a whole bit around our dicks.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, please let us know what you think. We would love to know. But now it's time for 5 questions.
Oh, boy.
Oh, hooray.
We have 5 questions from friend of the show, Timmy Iverson.
Oh. Hey, Timmy.
Timmy.
That's right. So Timmy has asked us 5 excellent questions, and I'm ready for them. Are you guys?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Question 1. If you couldn't be convicted of any one type of crime, what criminal charge would you like to be immune to?
So, my immediate thought is, like, larceny, because, like, theft. Mm. Like, you could just, like, steal shit from stores, from people. You could be a Robin Hood without consequences.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That would be awesome. But then I think, well, Robin Hood without consequences, like, why not aim bigger? Why not, like, corporate espionage or
treason.
Right. Or, I don't know, all sorts of crimes that are actually illegal to talk about hypothetically, because parts of the government that are responsible for protecting other parts of the government can arrest you for hypothetically talking about hurting or killing or I think you can all understand where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
And I think that God, I don't know, man. Larceny. I'm going to say larceny.
Larceny.
It covers a lot of bases. Theft. It's theft.
See, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
And I still like it, but in the interest of being not of coming up with something different. I'm gonna go with. And it's ironic because I don't think I would ever do this. But what the heck? This is a theoretical universe.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with assault and battery because then I could just punch Nazis and there would be no consequences.
Yeah, and racists too.
Yeah. Like white supremacists, I could just... You know, when somebody shows up with a Confederate flag on their jacket, I could just punch him because they're fucking stupid.
And they'd be like, oh man, there's that guy that I'm not allowed to sue.
But no, see, if they fight back, though, they're defending themselves, so... So if you have the right to punch someone, all that means is that you get to start a fight for free. But they're welcome and legally able to defend themselves, so they'd be punching back.
Also, you could still get civil charges brought up against you for assault and battery.
I didn't think about that.
I feel like that counts. He said immunity.
He said criminal charge.
I know. I'm still saying it.
Let's say it's criminal and civil.
I've made my decision. All right.
Let's just say legal consequences.
No
legal consequences.
Yeah. I, similar to the two of you, was going to say bank robbery.
Yeah.
Specifically, I mean, bank robbery.
If I could just walk into a bank vault and walk out with a couple million dollars.
Yeah, I don't
think
bank robbery is a specific criminal charge. It's probably just covered under felony larceny or felony theft.
Yeah.
But so I will go with a con.
Swindle.
Yeah, whatever swindle would fall under. And again, I want to stress, I wouldn't do this to an individual, rather like an individual representing a corporation. I would enjoy swindling corporations. I would enjoy that sort of...
There goes Molly Glover. She's that art thief that steals from millionaires.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that. I think we all have noble purposes here, so...
Yeah.
All right. Question two. What saying makes you roll your eyes every time you hear it? And I'm going to say punch down is off the table since we already talked about it.
Oh, there you go.
Begs the question.
People
misuse begs the question all the time. And every time... I hear it, or Molly hears it, one of us, or often both in unison, will just go,
nope.
And like, it doesn't, like, we could be watching someone speak, we could be watching a movie or TV, like, we'll say it quietly to ourselves if that's more appropriate, but, like, every fucking time, someone will be like, oh, well, cars have this much exhaust, which begs the question,
nope.
And... because it's a logical fallacy, meaning more of a kind of circular reasoning or circular logic.
If you say newspapers are dying because people don't read newspapers because there aren't enough of them to read, that's begging the question. That's a circular logic.
Right.
Like to say you know, well, there aren't any bees in my neighborhood anymore, which begs the question, does climate change affect bees?
And
like, they just mean poses.
Raises the question.
Raises the question. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes me think of the question.
It drives me nuts.
All right.
And this is just
a saying.
This is a personal one because I'm working really hard. I've MC'd shows for years, and the phrase that makes me roll my eyes, especially when I say it,
mm-hmm.
because I'm trying to edit it out, is ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
So I'm trying to use things like y'all and...
Yep.
And
gathered
folks,
friends.
Friends. Yeah. People of.
Yeah.
You know, trying to
people
find
of
ways,
Can-Can Wonderland.
Yes.
Like, yep.
Trying to find ways to use gender-neutral terminology, but I still fuck up.
Oh, of course.
And when
you're
I do,
human.
There's that internal eye roll of, shit.
Yes.
I gotta do better.
Yeah.
I have to do better.
Yeah.
For Wise Fools, because I used to introduce Eric.
Yeah.
Pietro, the host, because no one should ever walk onto the stage unannounced, kind of, you know, we felt. And so I went from saying lords and ladies to gathered nobles.
Yeah.
Which works great at Renfest.
Yeah, yeah, which was Tony Miller, friend of the show, Tony Miller, Seamus the Insulter, used to, or he still does, when he's grabbing someone's attention in the street to get them to come over, rather than assuming a gender, he says, young noble.
Right.
Or can have a moment of your time. And when he mentioned that, I was like, that's fucking good. And then
I am torn between clean eating detox. my MLM isn't like, it doesn't hurt anyone if I'm selling essential oils, nail wraps, whatever the fuck else, you know, MLM, because I, you know, because I tell everyone that they aren't, like, cures. You know, like, that whole, like, my MLM is okay, all the others are bad. Like,
right.
But I think I'm going to go with clean eating detox, because that's a thing I'm hearing a lot right now with the new year. People are like, oh, I'm eating clean. I only eat, I'm eating clean. Like, oh, I'm on a detox cleanse. Like, I can't eat that because I'm eating clean. It's just so, like, to imply that other food is dirty or bad.
It doesn't mean anything.
It's just bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just not eating added chemicals right now. It's like, All right, number three. What mythical creature do you wish actually existed?
Oh, so many good answers to this.
I'm going to go with unicorns, because I think having unicorns would be pretty cool. I'm actually, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go one more. Pegasus.
Oh, yeah.
I wish that there was a winged horse that we could ride and that could go places. I think that'd be pretty cool. It'd be pretty great to go out to, like, Montana and see, like, herds of Pegasus, like, in the sky instead of, like, down on the ground, right? They could just mingle with the regular horses most of the time. Like, it'd be cool, right? Like, Renaissance jousting, but they have Pegasi instead.
Yeah, that would be... I agree. That is a good call.
Yeah, yeah, thanks.
I think, like, the... Like, a Kraken or a Hydra.
Oh, like, something scary in the deep.
I would like it if there was some big, terrifying creature out there that was just like... Oh, yeah, humans don't go over there because that's where the Hydra is. And if you, like, cut off its head, just, like, it grows two more. So, like, we don't go there. 50-mile, square-mile area, we don't go over there because that's Hydra country.
Yeah.
Or, like, oh, we don't go through that sea because that's where all the Kraken are.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, cool. Like, I just like the idea of some of the planet being off limits just because, like, there's shit more dangerous than us there.
Yeah. I like that. It's a good answer.
I'm gonna go with elves.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, like the kind of the
wait, like Tolkien elves or like little teeny like
more like the Tolkien elves, not the Keebler make cookies elves. But and for me, it's really about the idea. Elves are so fucking powerful, and they live forever.
Yeah.
And just having that race around that can look at humans and be like, you fucking idiots.
Do you think they'd be involved in our government, or do you think they wouldn't care?
Like, I don't know.
Would we have like a 300 term senator?
I feel like as soon as we started doing shit that affected them, they would care.
Yeah.
But elves vary from mythology to mythology too.
Yeah,
like some of them have their own courts and their own world, and they they don't really mix with us. And so you know, like
I don't know. American elves sounds kind of hilarious too. Like if they
the idea that there's this super powerful race that we really couldn't do anything to stop, that they could just. They could just wipe us off the planet if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like that might keep us in check sometimes.
That's basically Cargill's books, though.
Kind of.
Or War for the Oaks.
Yeah. All right, question four. What movie quotes do you use on a regular basis? There's so many for me because that's the majority of the way my family communicates, especially my siblings, like just saying TV and movie quotes at each other. I think one I use a lot at work is thanks, we're all counting. I just wanted to let you know we're all counting on you.
Oh, yeah.
Good luck.
Good luck. We're all counting on you. Yeah.
Airplane.
There's a lot of like, I hear Fight Club quoted a lot more, you know, like just the rule number one.
I want to destroy something beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I use a lot of quotes and I don't even think about it.
Right.
So it's hard, you know.
And my axe! It belongs in a museum. We say that a lot in our house.
I say, you know, it's a trap a lot.
Yeah. It can be yours, Nick. Or it can be ours, Nick. Yours and mine. Like, I do that a lot. Oh, also, we say to the cats a lot, so you see, Mr. Triscuit, there is nothing you can possess that I cannot take away. Like, that says a lot to dogs and cats.
Let's see, in our house, there's, of course you are, and I'm going with you.
Oh, yeah.
I use I don't know, I'm making this up as I go a lot.
Yeah.
Just
because. Snakes, why did it have to be snakes? Which, you know, yeah. Ice cream, why did it have to be ice cream? It's just random. Yeah. Yep, that's good. All right, question five. What's the funniest word in the English language?
Ah, this was the one that I was dreading.
This is a tricky one.
Defenestrate is pretty kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought colostomy was pretty funny because it sounds kind of like calliope, only it's not. And so, I don't know.
I think butthole is one of the funniest words, especially because it's like a PG swear, and there's just something about butthole that is just like jokes about gaping buttholes or jokes about like tight butt. I mean, it's a funny word, butthole.
I appreciate you bringing that up because now that I think about it, I think dickhole is a pretty funny
dickhole
word.
Is also very good
because it's like, who cares? I mean, yeah.
Booty is kind of a funny
booty
word.
Booty.
It's not like a hilarious word, but like whenever you talk about butt or like getting some and you instead say booty, it's a little jovial and it automatically makes you think of pirates.
Yeah.
So I think booty's kind of funny.
Booty's good.
There is a comedy theory that the k sound makes words funnier.
Consonant. Hard
like
consonant.
Any hard consonant, but especially hard C's and K's that make a word is funny. Like cock is funnier than penis a lot of the time. Like there's
Crinkle.
Kraken.
As opposed
to giant squid.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Timmy. Those were great questions. If you want to send in your questions, send them to 5questions at geeksthatgod.com. That's number 5 or the word, because Nick knows his shit. So you can send it to either one. You can also like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We would very much like it if you wanted to be one of our patrons. And in fact, we have a new patron.
God damn it.
That's right. We have a new patron. Thank you, Ken Larson, for being one of our new patrons.
Did you answer his 5 questions already?
We did just recently, I think.
Before he became a patron.
He did. No. He didn't even use that opportunity to jump to the top of the list, though he could if he wanted to send us more.
That's right. If you are a patron and you put in the subject line 5 questions from a patron, you get bumped to the top of the queue, or at least to the next line in the patron queue, which I think right now is empty. So, patrons, go for it.
Ken gets to listen to this episode weeks early.
Yeah.
I think from our recording schedule and when we're releasing stuff, I think he can listen to this one weeks early. You could too.
That's
Throw
right.
Throw us a couple bucks.
That could have been you, man. And then also we have some special episodes that we've done, and we're going to do more and things like that. Basically, comedy is subjective, but there are some things that I think we can all agree on, and one of those is just be smart, get good, write better. You can always write a better joke.
Yeah.
Like, almost all the time, there's a way to make that joke better. Just like how poetry is not word vomit on paper, comedy is not just saying whatever asshole thing you thought of to be mean and then going, it's just a joke. So please remember that.
Yeah, remember, if your first joke is gay people, am I right?
Yeah.
You're probably not going to make it as a comedian.
And I will end with the words that Andy Richter said that I loved very much, which is, I hope someday jokes about trans people and gender-neutral bathrooms and shit like that are just as hack as airline food and mother-in-laws. So thank you very much. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.
You know what I hate more than airline food? My mother-in-law's gender-neutral bathroom.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
We got all angry and opinionated and shit.
Yeah.